I am Platt on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Vancouver's first Chinese music festival is on the 9th through the 11th of May 2014. And joining me now to talk about it is Lan Tung. She's the artistic director and an accomplished Eru player, a vocalist, composer, and producer. And Eru, by the way, is a Chinese violin. I'll get her to talk about that and more, what to expect the second weekend of May at the Roundhouse Community Center, as well as what Chinese music encompasses. Generally, we think of it as the music is heard at Chinese operas. I guess you'd think that reading Wei Sin Choi or looking at the history of Vancouver's Chinatown in the first half of the 20th century when there were a number of opera houses. When some of us think of Chinese music, it's perhaps the pop music that we encounter in restaurants or malls, but it's a lot more than that. There's a great tradition developing of fusion music, collaboration with other culture groups, as well as improvisation. Visit soundofdragon.com for tickets and information on the events, and lantungmusic.com for information on my guests now. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Lan Tung. Ms. Tung, good morning.
Good morning. Very well said.
Thanks for joining us. So I've tried in the introduction to give an overview of what Chinese music is, but it's a lot more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, and also this is one of the reasons why we have this festival. Really, people have the singular impression or idea of how Chinese music should sound like, and really it's a lot more than that, and we want to give a wider definition for Chinese music so you can go beyond your imagination and really think of creative projects, creative ways of how to apply what you are familiar with or something you have learned. So not necessarily Chinese music. Next time we're going to say, okay, African music is not what you think is it.
Yeah.
And Indian music is not what you think is it. Because we're in an environment that constantly people are learning and observing each other and learning from each other, and culture and tradition constantly evolve and changes. So it's not a amusing piece that stays the old way. But in fact, we still have opera houses in Vancouver, too.
Yeah. We forget about that, yeah. There's a fantastic line that you use about this festival, preserve heritage and seek innovation. Do you find that the young people today, young people generally listen to modern music or whatever, you know, is on the radio, etc. But do you find that there is a desire to preserve the heritage of Chinese music?
Usually, when people talk about Chinese music, the idea of trying to preserve it is always very strong, especially people learning the music. So, oh, we're losing this, we're losing that, how are we going to preserve that? So there's always this concern of preserving tradition. But also, as I said, traditions always have to always continue to evolve and change. So you cannot try to hold on to the ancient time forever. So we are really looking at going two directions, both preserve and presenting the old tradition, but also showing the innovative direction at the same time. So I guess it's harder for the younger generations here in the West to try to preserve the old tradition because we don't have a lot. This is a very new country and the people bringing new ideas over. But we are able to much easier today to travel and then to have access of information on music back to from different where our roots came from. So in a way, then it's in a different time that we are able to preserve our tradition, even we are far away from Asia, and it's just maybe through technology. So.
Yeah,
it's combining the old and the new.
So the instrument that you play, I mean, you play more than I guess the Eru, right?
I play almost only Eru.
Oh, only Eru. Okay, I see.
I sing as well.
Yeah,
I do a lot of singing in my ensembles. I play like 5 chords on the guitar.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw a video of you playing the Eru on YouTube.
Yes.
And we're on the radio, I guess. So sort of, it looks like an instrument that's from ancient times. I guess it would be, right? Because it's more than 1,000 years old. Is that right?
Yeah, the instrument's about 1,000 years old. So,
yeah.
So I think in a way we are preserving heritage of through reinventing and through adopting it into new contexts.
Yeah.
I think that's a way of preserving instead of trying to preserve how it sounded 1,000 years ago, because no one knows how it sounded 1,000 years ago.
Right. And you certainly do that in the video that I saw, because as you see, you play it, and then you also sing with it. You vocalize with it. And then the one video I saw, you had someone with you who had a computer.
Oh, yeah.
And can you sort of describe what he does in terms of while you're performing?
Okay, I can guess which video you're watching. Probably it's from Montreal.
Yeah,
exactly, He's from Concordia University, and they have a lab and experimenting of processing sound. So every sound the computer makes is generated from what I play. And then they have a software they develop and constantly redeveloping as well of how to process the sound. And so it was every sound I make is digital information. So and it plays back, and he plays with how it plays back. And then when I hear it, I play with what he plays. So it's a feeding back between the live instrument and the computer-generated sound, but manipulated by person.
Yeah.
Doing live interaction and feeding back each other all the time.
And that's important for you to use, say, technology with an instrument that's ancient like that?
It's one of the things I would like try, and
yeah.
It's interesting because the Eru has very unique sound, and I'm also always interested in exploring sound. Like, what other sound can you make with the instrument? So there are many extended techniques, the unusual way of playing. Maybe the teacher would say the wrong way of playing, making unusual sound on the instrument. So not just the Eru, I work with a lot of improvisers. So you try to play the wrong way, but really work on it. Precisely wrong in the same way every time, then become a new sound.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of improvised music and learn from the improvisers from Europe and also in Vancouver. So with computer, it's like an extension of this idea that you can try out different sounds that you cannot make acoustically with the instrument.
The Eru itself, it sounds almost like a voice in some way, doesn't it?
It's so much like a voice, and that's why I will sing with the Eru at the same time. Then my voice and the Eru combine together, become another new sound.
Yeah. And you also do, from what I've read, you collaborate with different sort of disciplines and different artists from different culture groups, obviously, but for, say, from other parts of Asia, the Middle East as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that important as well to creating or say broadening the appeal or the I guess just the experience of Chinese music as well?
It is important for me because I love music from Middle Eastern and from India. And I was just studying Uyghur music in the desert in China, the northwest desert where the Silk Road went through. So a lot of come from what I the kind of music I enjoy personally, like the style of music I would love to listen. And you listen so much, then you want to learn something from it, and then want to bring it into what you do. So a lot, of course, the motivation from it is pretty selfish. It's like, this is the music I love. And basically, that's why I'm interested in doing that. And then from that comes to the new possibilities, new sound, and then also reaching new audience.
And so on May 9th through the 11th, if we go down to the Roundhouse, we'll be able to see, I mean, there are a lot of events, aren't there?
There are actually 17 concerts.
Wow.
Not going to see me on every stage,
yeah.
Hopefully, unfortunately. Because actually, Vancouver has a very vibrant community of Chinese music. And we say Chinese music, the participants are not all Chinese.
Yeah.
Because a lot of projects cross-cultural. So a lot of composers writing for these instruments are not Chinese. So it's definitely not what you think of going whole day listen to Chinese instruments playing or Chinese opera. It's definitely not like that. We have many different projects created by Vancouver's musicians and a lot of interesting creative ideas things been happening, it just never been highlighted this way in one place, and really to showcase the diversity.
Yeah, are you expecting a lot of artists to come in from out of town?
The most performers are from Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
But we have a little giant Chinese chamber orchestra coming all the way from Taiwan.
Really? Yeah.
And a soloist from U.S. and then also Li Peiming as pianist. She's coming from Toronto, but I think currently she's in Hong Kong.
Yeah, there really is something for everyone, right? I mean, if I'm a fan of jazz, would I find something like that at your festival?
Yes, yeah, like the late night concerts starting at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Are more jazz concerts, but also Li Peiming's concert. She's a very accomplished pianist, improviser, and composer, and she makes many different styles, and she has played in all the major jazz festivals. So there's definitely of that, and
yeah.
Then this, and I have a band with jazz musicians and playing my works for improvised musicians.
What are some of the events that you're looking forward to?
Many of them, because, although a lot of these musicians who are performing, we know each other,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the projects, maybe we haven't really listened to each other that much, and most of the time people work in their own, focusing on their own work, so this is really an opportunity we all come out and support each other and listen to each other and learn from each other. So, then some new projects I haven't heard live. I've seen videos and I've heard about them doing something new. So it's exciting that we can have all different style of music presented in one place. Then you just hop, walk to the next hall, but with two halls going back and forth, then you can hear completely something different and surprise yourself.
So does it surprise you that this hasn't happened sooner?
Well, everybody says surprising it hasn't happened sooner, but if you work in a community, you know everyone's very busy, and and also a lot of, in the past, most of the professional musicians from Asia arrive in the past 10 to 20, 25 years, the most. Before that was amateur musicians, or only Cantonese style was more close in the community. So really, the musicians are here in the past 20 years, so now it's after all the 20 years of work and learning, it's about time that they are able to show what they have done as a community.
Yeah.
So, I guess everyone's saying why didn't it happen earlier. I guess it just wasn't time yet.
Yeah, but it's the right time, isn't it?
Because it is the right time. And also because now we have a lot of musicians been here for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then some are pretty new. So we have a really quite a mix of people with different experience and different things they can offer. Some people, the newcomers, they bring what's the latest in Asia, and then the ones being here for a long time, they do what is the experimenting and the influencing with multicultural in music making. So it really becomes something that's really diverse now.
Yeah. It's been such a pleasure talking to you today. Congratulations on all of this and all good wishes for the festival, Anne.
Thank you.
The Sound of Dragon Festival, that's May 9th through the 11th at the Roundhouse Community Center here in Vancouver. Visit soundofdragon.com for tickets and information. Also visit lantungmusic.com. Lantung joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.